Picture this. A 17-year-old boy walks into Philadelphia with just pennies in his pocket, munching on a bread roll while carrying two others under his arms. Disheveled and exhausted, he could hardly imagine that he would one day become one of the most celebrated figures in American history. Benjamin Franklin's autobiography isn't just the story of one man's rise from humble beginnings to international renown. It's America's original self-help manual, a blueprint for success that has inspired generations. What makes this work so enduring isn't just Franklin's extraordinary accomplishments, but the relatable humanity with which he shares his journey. His practical wisdom, delivered with characteristic wit, continues to feel remarkably modern despite being written in the 1770s when Franklin was in his 60s, reflecting on a life that helped shape a nation. Franklin's success began when he fled his Boston apprenticeship, arriving in Philadelphia with almost nothing. After a brief London disappointment, he returned to Philadelphia and partnered with Hugh Meredith to open a printing business. Franklin prioritized perception. I took care not only to be in reality industrious and frugal, but to avoid all appearances to the contrary. He wheeled paper through streets himself, dressed plainly, and avoided taverns, creating an image of reliability that attracted influential patrons. This reputation building secured him Pennsylvania assembly printing contracts for money and official documents. His newspaper thrived while competitors failed. His Poor Richard's Almanac sold nearly 10,000 copies annually. Most ingeniously, Franklin created a network of printing partnerships across the colonies, setting up former employees with agreements allowing them to eventually purchase independence. This franchise-like system made him wealthy enough to retire at 42, freeing him to pursue scientific and civic interests. Have you ever wondered how great ideas spread before the internet? Franklin's solution was the Junto, a club of mutual improvement he formed at 21. This weekly gathering of tradesmen and artisans functioned as an engine of intellectual growth that transformed Philadelphia. The Junto welcomed anyone of good character, regardless of background. Its founding members included a surveyor, shoemaker, clerk, and printers, the emerging middle class of colonial America. The club required phrases like, "I conceive," or "it appears to me," instead of direct contradictions to prevent dogmatism. From this modest beginning grew a network of influence. When establishing America's first subscription library, Franklin leveraged the Junto's collective persuasion rather than presenting it as his personal project. He later had each member establish similar clubs without revealing their connection to the original group, creating an invisible network for spreading ideas. This web of relationships helped Franklin advance civic projects while building goodwill for his business. Through the Junto network, he could gauge public opinion, float new ideas, and mobilize support, demonstrating his genius for creating social structures that aligned personal advancement with community benefit. Franklin approached character development systematically, treating virtue as a practical skill. "I conceived the bold and arduous project of arriving at moral perfection," he wrote. His system focused on 13 essential virtues: temperance, silence, order, resolution, frugality, industry, sincerity, justice, moderation, cleanliness, tranquility, chastity, and humility. He concentrated on one virtue weekly, tracking daily failures with black marks in a small book, aiming for cleaner pages through repeated cycles. Franklin created specific precepts for each virtue: "Eat not to dullness," for temperance, or "Speak not but what may benefit others or yourself," for silence, transforming abstract concepts into actionable behaviors. He remained relatable by acknowledging imperfection, finding order nearly impossible, and accepting that a speckled axe was good enough. Though never achieving flawless character, Franklin credited this little artifice with his life's constant felicity, attributing his health to temperance, financial independence to industry and frugality, and public trust to sincerity and justice. His emphasis on practical techniques defines his enduring approach to self-improvement. Franklin's institution-building genius transformed Philadelphia into America's leading city. His method followed a consistent pattern: identify a community need, gather interested citizens, develop a sustainable structure, and step back. The present little sacrifice of your vanity will afterwards be amply repaid, he advised. When establishing America's first subscription library, Franklin organized 50 subscribers contributing 40 shillings each plus 10 shillings annually. This modest beginning grew into the Library Company of Philadelphia, which still exists today. Franklin addressed other community needs by organizing the Union Fire Company, with members maintaining equipment and meeting monthly. For healthcare, he established Pennsylvania Hospital, using a public-private funding model requiring private donations before public funds were released. His most enduring institution became the University of Pennsylvania, for which he secured nearly £5,000 in subscriptions. Franklin's approach emphasized practical structures over personal glory, creating self-sustaining institutions by aligning individual self-interest with community benefit, designing organizations where participation brought both personal advantage and public good. Franklin's work in electricity transformed him from colonial businessman to international figure. His journey began in 1746, when he witnessed Dr. Spence's electrical experiments in Boston. When Philadelphia's library received an electrical glass tube from Peter Collinson of London's Royal Society, Franklin began his systematic investigation. Unlike others who viewed electricity as mere curiosity, Franklin combined experimental rigor with theoretical insight. His theory, recognizing the sameness of lightning with electricity, was initially ridiculed by London's Royal Society. Undeterred, his famous kite experiment proved this theory and led to his invention of the lightning rod. The impact was profound. The Royal Society granted him membership without fees and awarded him the Copley Medal. Cambridge and Yale bestowed honorary degrees despite his lack of formal education. European intellectuals began acknowledging American intellectual capability, establishing credibility for Franklin's later diplomatic work. What makes Franklin's scientific achievements remarkable is that he pursued them while juggling roles as printer, civic leader, and politician, seeking knowledge not merely for itself, but for improving human life. Franklin's most accessible legacy comes through the pithy maxims in Poor Richard's Almanac, wisdom he personally practiced. God helps those who help themselves, emphasized personal agency, while other maxims promoted diligence, prudence, and moderation. His childhood story, The Whistle, offered a profound lesson about overpaying for things and later observing people paying too much for their whistles, sacrificing peace for advancement or health for momentary pleasure. Franklin's philosophy stands out for its practical optimism. Unlike religious moralists or abstract philosophers, he believed in achievable self-improvement through practical methods, focusing on becoming better each day through conscious effort. Human felicity is produced not by great pieces of good fortune that seldom happen, but by little advantages that occur every day. In our world of extremes, Franklin's middle path remains relevant. His moderation, balance of ambition with contentment, and focus on both personal and public good. His life shows that extraordinary achievement requires not extraordinary circumstances, but persistence, curiosity, and willingness to reinvent oneself for larger purposes.